Man, my arms. I'm getting swole.
We got the same looking sweater on, but I'm not swole.
Nah, you're not swole, bro. You got to get swole, man.
What's the purpose of getting buff again?
No, swole it's buff. Not buff, but you know, you need your body to be tight, bro. You got to get your stuff tight, bro. You know? You got to get tight. You can't be looking all scrawny, man. It's the apocalypse is coming. You gotta be ready.
You getting strong in case you gotta defend your family? Is this what's happening?
J Bell, the apocalypse is coming, man. It's coming.
Oh my god.
So I'm preparing myself.
Oh my
god. Old school push-ups, crunches, VersaClimber, 2-3 times a day. I'm getting it.
There's nothing old school about a VersaClimber.
Well, the VersaClimber, yeah. That's my fusion. That's my fusion of modern and... But the VersaClimber is old school. Have you seen Rocky IV when he's like, if he dies, he dies? He was doing the VersaClimber.
Was he on a VersaClimber?
Yeah, he was on the VersaClimber machine in that movie. Yeah.
The first time I saw the VersaClimber is when I got to New York and I saw you guys on it. And I thought, those guys are playing well. Maybe I should do that.
Yeah, maybe I should try something.
Mm-hmm. It didn't work for me. I wasn't good at it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That wasn't good. But I like how you represent what you had today.
NYG all day.
For everybody listening, it's the Jason and OC podcast. OC just got a quick set of push-ups in while I was having technical difficulties.
Hey, watch how swole I am next time you see me, Jason. I'm going to be swole.
What are you trying to do? Well, you trying to...
I just want to be swole.
Why?
Swole. You hear me, Jason? You hear me, swole.
Yes, but why? What do you think Spagnola at Kansas City is going to call you up and say, let's go get it?
No, it's not that. I literally just told you what's happening. You see what's going on? The apocalypse is coming, you know? So you can be all scrawny neck and pencil neck if you want to. It ain't going to be me, J-Bell, all right? Somebody's going to see me. They're going to know right now what's going on.
Hey, think about the human body and how it's adapted to survive. And to survive, you need to be able to hold on to calories, right? You might not eat for days.
Yep.
Like all this be in shape stuff, that isn't prime survival.
Nope.
You got to stock up on calories, also. You got to get swole and swole.
And swole. Both ways, right?
I mean, we need to stop playing around. We need to stop playing around with that because you might be on to something.
Let me tell you the real reason. It's like I'm sitting here and I realize that because of this lockdown, you know, I do work out. You know, we work out every day. But so say I work out for 45 minutes a day, right? And, you know, I sleep for 7 hours, right? 16 hours, you're just awake. You know what I mean? Yeah, like... And so the days where we don't work, what are you doing with the rest of that time? And so for me, I'm like, okay, I got to start to do something that's, you know, at least functional with my time. If I'm not at work or if I'm not sleeping or if I'm not, so I might as well just, you know, train my body and, you know, release my mind from all these thoughts, man. Because I think a lot, Jason, you know, and the more I think, you know, the deeper down rabbit holes I go. And I realize it's not productive. Sometimes ignorance is bliss. Sometimes it's best to just...
Hey, it's the truth.
Sometimes it's best to just not know.
It's the truth.
So you know this better than anybody. I also love to eat. You know, so I'm like, okay, now if I work out even more, that means I can eat more food. You understand what I mean? So it's a constant, you know, give and take.
Self-perpetuating reward system.
That's all it is. That is all it is, J-Bell. Nothing other than that.
I like it. I'm all right with that. But a lot of it might be this time of year. I think you're playoff and Super Bowl OC. So I think it's just in your DNA to step it up when it's crunch time. And maybe you don't even know that. Maybe that's just who you are.
Maybe it just goes into it, right?
Yeah. Like this time of year, like something in your body goes, no, I have to put my foot on the gas.
Yeah. You know who didn't put that foot on the grass? The Green Bay Packers.
Oh man. Simon is sick right now. Shout out to Simon, our producer. He is disgusted right now. He is a life. He has a Green Bay Packers beanie on.
Yes. I told him to take that hat off last week. He didn't want to listen to me.
No.
Mm-mm.
What are your thoughts on that? Let's see if we think the same.
Listen, I think Green Bay didn't play bad. Let's not get that twisted. I mean, they forced 3 turnovers from Tom Brady, but the turnovers were in their Tampa Bay side of the field. It's not like they were in red zone territory the same way, you know, Tampa sometimes gets their turnovers. So got into the red zone quite a bit of times. They faltered. They just, you know, I heard somebody say something about Aaron Rodgers, which I found interesting. And this was something that I saw myself, right? But I didn't really know how to put it into words. Whenever they're ahead, whenever this team is ahead, you see the bravado, you see the smirks, you see the smiles, you see the, you know, the swag. But when they go behind, they don't play well from behind. It's like, for some reason, whenever they go behind by a certain amount of points, they just seem to fall apart. And this isn't just this year. This has been for a number of years in regards to the Green Bay Packers. So remember when I was telling you, there's something about this team that just doesn't sit right with me. It's like they have a soft underbelly, right? Mm-hmm. When I was saying that, it's just from accumulation of years of just watching this football team and watching Aaron Rodgers and watching the way they play. I'm like, something's just not right. There's an element of toughness missing from that football team. Whereas when you're ahead, whoa, everything's good. But when you're behind, things don't happen. Look at what happens when Kansas City's behind. It's like they almost get, it's like they get happy. They get more excited when they're behind.
Yeah.
You understand what I mean? And, you know, they turn it up, as opposed to certain teams that when they get ahead, they just, or when they get behind, they kind of like find ways to lose games even worse than they're already in the hole.
I think if you're going to use that comparison, which I agree with, is, so let's start looking at players, you know, playmaking players. And I think the difference is in Green Bay, in this game especially, I mean, they were going to double Devontae Adams. They were going to take him away with their coverage schemes and their mix-ups and stuff like that. But it's the other guys didn't step up. The other guys weren't making those explosive plays. You had some drop balls. And I thought from the whole beginning, Aaron Rodgers was going to have to play out of his mind to win. But I thought he would. I just thought he would. And he didn't. He missed some throws down there by the goal line when he had opportunity to score. People are talking about he should have ran it in. But I think, to your point, they play a balanced game and a balanced way of offense because they aren't explosive. You know, you know, they can't put those, they don't have that third option. You know, they kind of did. We thought they did. We thought Tanya, the way he was playing, you know, we thought one of those other receivers would step up, but I just don't think Aaron Rodgers has a lot of faith in those guys over and over again. And you know, when I saw it, when he forced the ball to Devontae Adams in the red zone, right? And it was thrown out of bounds. You remember that one?
Yep.
He had another receiver come open. He wasn't tripping. He wasn't looking at the dude. And this is a guy we talk about who can see the whole field. He obviously didn't have confidence in the other players. And I think that's the opposite with Kansas City. You know, you got two. I mean, Kelce and Tyreek Hill are the best at their positions in the league right now. I mean, they're just out of control explosive. And I think Patrick Mahomes, I mean, he will be the best to come in the future. He just has faith in those guys. And one other guy just needs to step up and have a good explosive play. And that will happen. I mean, look at Mecole Hardman. He had a couple of explosive plays after a fumbled kickoff. They got to be close or up front. But I still think they should have let him close out and go for the win and not kick the field goal. I'm still going to give it to Aaron Rodgers. I'm still going to give it to him.
Jason, here's the thing. Here's where I say that I might disagree. Is because there's only so long fake thugs can pretend, man. I say this over and over and over again. Where was all that when this team won 13 games? Where was all that when this team were beating people up, blowing teams out? Where was the, oh, he doesn't have this weapon, or he doesn't? There was none of that. But, you know, the minute they get really, really challenged, all of a sudden, that's when you start to notice all these deficiencies. And so it's, to me, the key is being able to spot those things before, because there wasn't a lot of, you know, people, you know, pounding this team and saying this is wrong and saying this is wrong and saying all this stuff before it actually reared its head. Now, these are things that people, like, you got to be able to see these things before. You're right, because you are 100% correct. They didn't have that. But up until Tampa Bay decided to, you know, bow up, show, you know, and stop punching them in the mouth, then all of a sudden you start to see all these, you know, little deficiencies that they should have been corrected years ago, not just this year. They should have handled that a long time ago. You understand what I mean? And so here's why I think a lot of the issues that I had with this football team are, it's not in the what happened now, but it's in that I've seen this for a number of years in relation to the Green Bay Packers, and they never addressed that problem. And in the championship rounds, like we always allude to, it never fails. It never fails, bro. It's always going to stand up. Always. And then what's going to happen? Oh, this. Oh, that. You understand what I mean? You got to address that from the beginning. They never did.
I think you just said the key. Championship rounds. Because when you were talking, I was thinking, OC, I'm with you. But Aaron Rodgers just had an MVP season. OC, I'm with you. But they did this and this and that. OC, I'm with you, but that's in this, you know, I'm with you, but it's a lot of buts, because the but is we're down in the final four teams. And are you building your roster to win a championship, or are you building your roster to win games?
Thank you.
And that's what, and I see what you're saying. This is why the whole conversation about drafting the quarterback Jordan Love and using a first round pick on a player that maybe could have helped you right now win a championship. You see these good teams, they're young players, they're young stars that they picked up, their draft picks are playing for them. Well, you have to in this day and age in the league. So is this a good team? Yes. But do they have holes when it comes to championship rounds? Obviously they do. Obviously they do. And if I'm Aaron Rodgers, I'm frustrated, but I'm also frustrated in my performance.
Yep.
That being said, that last play, I will say this. If we talk about Andy Reid, if we talk about Bruce Arians, are those two guys, those two head coaches in that position, in that, with that kind of opportunity, right? Mm-hmm. In that position, you know, they're going for it. You know it. OC, you know it. You've been around these dudes. You played against them. No risk it, no biscuit. You know, fourth and one with a backup quarterback. These dudes are rolling the dice.
Yep. Yep. I mean, that is their mantra, and you are 100% correct in those coaches would go for it for sure. But they built that up over a number of years. They built that up over 20, 30 years of belief in their system. Mm. When I look at the Green Bay Packers and when I look at the situation that we're in, Aaron Rodgers, listen, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Tom Brady, yes, he is the GOAT. He had a bad second half. He threw three interceptions, and guess what? The Green Bay Packers could not capitalize. They kept on getting down there, kept on getting down there, and they couldn't score. So now they get down there. They're down 8 points. The coach is looking at the flow of the game. He's like, if we go for it here, it's definitely over. I look at my defense. Our defense has basically eliminated the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the second half, shut them out. We have three timeouts. We have the two-minute warning. Essentially, we have four timeouts. Okay, let's kick this field goal, you know, and see if this team can drive the ball down the field, which is something they hadn't been able to do at all in the second half. I understand completely where he was coming from and why he made that decision. It's not like, you know, the Green Bay had been coming down. They were hot. Aaron Rodgers was messing up. He had got down there. Usually, you know, he was good. He had a wide open lane. Usually he's going to run that in, you know, do his little discount double check. He didn't do it. He didn't see it. He wasn't seeing open receivers. So, I mean, come on. You have to understand in certain situations why you would make certain decisions. And I know people hate that decision, but when I look at the flow of the game, I understand completely why LaFleur decided to do what he did.
Okay. So I agree with you on what you're saying, right? We're watching the same game. And I'm thinking a head coach has to understand the temperature of his team at all times. So I'm with you. So let me play devil's advocate. What I do know is this with Tom Brady, and I thought he was going to do this earlier, man, don't give him a bunch of chances to make up for a mistake. Don't do it. Do not give him chances to make up for a mistake. And they already did that when they got the turnovers. They didn't capitalize, like you were saying, the Green Bay offense. Yep. So I'm like, yo, these dudes deserve to lose. As soon as that happened, I was like, if Aaron Rodgers can't capitalize off of his defense getting a turnover like this, I don't know what these guys don't deserve to win, right? I'm just saying that in my head. So if I'm a – coaches understand the history of the game, they should. I'm not going to give Tom Brady the opportunity to make amends for his mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
That scares me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think that you are 100% correct. I think we're both correct in this situation.
I agree with you in the whole,
right.
You know.
You're right. You shouldn't give him that opportunity. You shouldn't. You should know at some point.
He the dude's going to turn it on. You're not the greatest for a reason. Yeah. A guy's not going to block you over and over and over again. Yeah, and then the game's on the line and you're like, I got to come up with my good stuff. I got to get some pressure. Like, if you don't, you're not great.
Yeah.
You're just not great.
You're right.
You know,
there's people that can't
do that. I get it. And you're not great. You're just okay.
Yeah.
You know,
you're right.
You know, it's guys that are on the field, the whole game starters. You don't hear their name all game. It's not because they're playing bad. They're just not great.
Yeah. Anybody other than Brady or Mahomes, you kick the field goal. But them two, nah.
Man, I wouldn't chance. I'd be scared against Aaron Rodgers if you know. I'm just – that's what makes this Super Bowl so amazing.
Yeah.
First of all, you called it. Congratulations.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate you. Thank you.
You called it. You said it. Once again, Ostradamus in the playoffs. Yeah. Mm. This is playoff OC. This is when you're hot.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
This matchup is not the matchup Kansas City wanted.
Mm. They both don't want to see each other.
Both these teams are like, they're built to beat us.
Both of them, nah. Because Kansas City, with all those explosive players, great quarterback, great receivers, they are going to run into a very big problem. And the problems are Shaquille Barrett and Jason Pierre-Paul. I see your pretty offense.
Yep.
I see your pretty wide receivers and your tight ends.
Mm-hmm.
But who's going to block those guys?
Yeah. Yeah.
Who's going to deal with them?
Yep.
What are you going to do about those two players, a speedy linebacking crew, and some DBs who have all of a sudden decided they are going to play ball?
Yep. I have a question. Eric Fisher just got injured, right?
Injured. Achilles gone for the season. Yep.
So both your starting tackles are out. You might get another one back, supposedly. That's big. That scares me. So Kansas City hasn't been throwing the ball down the field deeply because everybody's taking it away. So they've changed their game plan up. They're throwing the short passes. They're having explosive plays with that. They're getting Kelce and Tyreek Hill the ball. I love the play calling by Eric Bieniemy and Andy Reid. That being said, they are going to come after that guy, Patrick Mahomes, and then Todd Bowles, their defensive coordinator, is going to do all these different coverage looks to kind of confuse him.
Just for one second. Hold the ball for one extra second.
I'm not sure what they're doing. Boom. That is the formula to beat them. And they have the personnel to do that. Now, the DBs are young. They're going to have to be coached up. That's the weakness. Can they hold up enough against, you know, Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill, Mecole Hardman, whatever? But the quickest way to kill a snake is to cut his head off.
Jason, all they got to do, not give up the explosive plays. They have the linebackers with the speed that can match up pretty with Kelce, right?
They're fast. Yeah.
And then you unleash that front four on a depleted offensive line. This is the formula. Now, it's a lot easier said than done. You know, this is not going to be easy by any stretch of the imagination. But I am telling you right now that the Kansas City Chiefs are going to be in big trouble. I'm not saying they're going to lose the game.
Yeah, I'm not saying that either. At all.
They are going to be in big, big trouble against this Tampa Bay defense. It's not going to be easy. I saw somewhere the Chiefs are favored, but I don't even know how many points.
Three right
I
don't now. Know what, it's low.
It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough sledding for them, man. Even though they beat them and they made them look really bad earlier, it's going to be tough sledding for them.
So you said something very interesting, and you're so right, about the linebackers, right, of Tampa Bay. Mm-hmm. David and White, right?
Yeah.
So this being the one thing about it, you're right, they're going to play man coverage. I mean, they can match up well. But, and this is for everybody listening, when you have fast inside linebackers, right, OC, that means they can close down areas, zone areas, right? Because they can move quickly, right? So if they're playing different zones, they cover so much ground, that's a threat to Patrick Mahomes, right? He's seeing something he thinks is open. These guys can close down on it. That's why you have fast linebackers. And when you have a defensive line like they have that can protect them and let those dudes flow everywhere, they can blitz, they can cover, they can do all kind of stuff for you. So that is a great matchup. The Buffalo linebackers are fast, but they didn't have that defensive front. So now you have a defensive front with fast, explosive linebackers. Definitely a matchup to watch. But you're right. I'm not saying Kansas City won't win this game, but I think so many times people focus on the offense, it's good to throw wide the defense is going to disrupt them. Just like Kansas City's defense, I want to know what you think on them. I think as fast and explosive Kansas City's offense is, I think their defense is bullies. I think they are fighters, bro. They are punching you in the mouth.
Yeah, there are, but I wanna save some of this for next week's podcast. The Super Bowl is next week. You understand what
I mean? Well, everything's going to change. It'll all change.
I did want to talk about something else because I heard you mention Eric Bieniemy, right?
Yep.
And his play calling and all that stuff. There's something that has popped up again.
Got it.
In regards to the coaching and the lack of minority head coaches and general managers in the NFL.
Yes.
And, you know, I've seen a lot of people come out and they are vehemently opposed to what's going on. They're calling it racism and, you know, all the stuff going on. They're accusing NFL and the NFL owners and
who are these people accusing them?
Oh, just go on Twitter. You see them everywhere.
But it's not a lot of NFL people, right? It's outside people a lot or?
No, some are NFL people. Michael Silver, you know, Mike Freeman, people like that, accusing them. And so I started to think about something in regards to, I saw Deshaun Watson and I'm seeing all these people. You know, you and I, we are firm believers in the fact that economics drive a lot of these issues, right?
Economics drive most issues.
Most issues, right?
They'll change the direction of the ship.
Right. How much does a general manager make? Between $1 to $3 million, high-end general manager, $1 to $3 million. And head coaches, anywhere from $5 to $6 to $7, $8 million, right? At the high end, right?
What is Gruden, right? 10?
Gruden's at 10, right? Yeah. Gruden's at 10. And he's like at the top, right? I'm looking around and I'm looking at a lot of these players in the NFL, right? 70s, some estimates have it 75% of them are black, right? You have a lot of black quarterbacks. You have a lot of black players. Some of them making $45 million a year, $30, $35 million a year. You know, offensive tackles, 25, defensive ends, high $20 million a year, right? Black players. You mean to tell me that an owner who paid black players $35, $40 million a year, but refused to hire black coaches or black GMs and pay them $2 million a year or $5 million a year because of racism, I'm just not. That's not. I feel like there has to be more to this, because, for instance, a CEO of a company, Fortune 500 company, sometimes this guy's making 100, 200, 300, even like 1,000 times more than the employee, right? And so you can say the lack of upward mobility and all this stuff from an economic standpoint, 100%. Yes, this is racism. But in the system where the employees, and in a lot of these situations, like a Patrick Mahomes or Deshaun Watson or Lamont, these guys have more authority than the coach. They have more authority than the general manager. This is the face of your franchise. And they are Black people. But the fact that you're not hiring a GM or, you know, a head coach, this is racism. Now, in no form or fashion am I saying that that doesn't exist, because of course it does. But there has to be something deeper than that. It has to be something deeper than that. We can't just automatically say, oh, yes, this is racism, blah, 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 because the economics of it doesn't make any sense. From an economic standpoint, that can't be racism, because those players are making 5, even 10 times more than the general manager or more than the coach. Do right. you understand what I mean?
Yeah, I see how you're looking at it. And what you're saying there, it makes sense. I think the economics, there needs to be a penalty, and then I'll go and answer what I think you're describing. First of all, when I think about the economics, there needs to be an economic penalty for not having diversity. So that what I mean is, if now you do hire and you have a diverse roster and you have a diversity of hiring, right, throughout your organization and the benefits that bring, right? Once that's seen, there's a penalty for me not having diversity, right? As an owner of a company, you're seeing that in corporations. There's a penalty from people not diversifying and having different hiring practices. They've put the numbers to it, right? You're missing out on this. We talk about so many corporations and the mistakes they've made. How could they have made this mistake? And you look at the board of directors and you're like, oh, that's how they made that mistake. It's one voice. There's no diversity in opinions, objections, things like that. That comes and it gives an economic penalty. So you change because the economics force you to change. Now in the NFL, I see where you're going and I'm with you. What I'm looking at is this. Now remember the NFL, profit sharing, right? Big pool of money. You just need to be a part of the club, right? Because the product is going to go out there and generate income. Like each of these teams they don't have to do certain things differently to really truly make more money. Now, I guess your ticket sales and things of that nature and all that, I'm not getting into the specifics because I don't know, but overall it's revenue sharing, correct?
Okay.
So when you think about upper management, we always think about human psychology. You're looking for shortcuts. You're looking for who you relate to. Now, upper management, not coaching. I know what you're saying with the pay scale, but I look at it like this. I'm from Long Beach, California. I own a team. And now you give me these candidates from all wherever, you know. And there's this guy from Long Beach, California. I kind of know how he thinks. I kind of know how he feels. I kind of grew up like him. I kind of see the world the way he does. I have that shortcut. Now, when we have our football conversation, we're trying to figure out the best way to manage this team and all that. We can go and proceed, but I have this base of this person. I don't have to try to get to know them. And I'm comforted by it. Human psychology. I think I see a lot of that in the hiring practices. I think when it comes to upper management, and I'm an owner, because this is owners making this decision, it's what's more comfortable for me when it all comes down to it. And whatever you want to call that, I understand. I do things all the time that are comfortable to me. So I see that a lot. When it comes to, yes, these players, they got the weight. These quarterbacks, they have it. But who's speaking to who is my question. The owner can speak to a player, but there's a separation of power, coaching staff, any kind of upper management, GM, whatever. There's that separation of power. But when it comes to who's the owner speaking to directly, the owner is speaking directly to your GM, to your head coach. That relationship is face to face. Are we on, you know, can we communicate? And I think that's a lot of it. I think it's about the level of communication and comfort in communication, and people make decisions that look how they do based on that, objectively answering your question.
I hear you. I disagree. I hear you. And in a lot of instances, in 90% of instances, I believe you would be 100% correct. 100% correct. But when I look at the evolution of the NFL, and when I look at the mentality of these people, the owners, when I look at the mentality of them, everything has changed. Everything has changed, Jason. I always go back to the fact that they didn't initially, 40, 50 years ago, they didn't want black players at all. They didn't want black players, period. They were like, okay, let's do this. Boom. One got in. They're like, oh, wow. This guy's a great player. He can help us win. Let's let more in. More come in. Oh, we're winning more games.
That's the economics.
Oh, we're making more money. We're winning more games. We're making more money. Oh, the league is growing. The league is expanding. The league is expanding in popularity. Everything is growing, 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 growing. The mentality changes. We don't want black quarterbacks. We can't have black quarterbacks. One comes in. Oh, guys can play. Oh, we're winning games. Oh, we're making more money. We're winning more, 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 more. Everything has evolved. These people, they only care about one thing. How am I going to win games? How am I going to win championships? How am I going to make more money? They care about nothing other than that. Let's not get it twisted. So the problem is...
You can't say that about everyone.
Majority of them. I can't say that about everybody. Of course not. But all I can do is look at the trajectory, look at what these teams have done over the course of their lives, over the course of their careers. And I'm seeing more and more black players because they believe that these black players give them the opportunity to win games and make more money. So now, why would it be different there in places where the people who they're hiring are making considerably less money than the people they're paying? Why would it be different there? There has to be something that we're missing. Now, I'm not telling you I have the answer because I don't. But all I can say is from everything that I'm looking at, it's not just, oh, they're not hiring these people because they're black, or they're not hiring these people because of racism. It can't be just that, because everything else around the sport says that's not the case. That's all I'm saying. Now, if we can start to think deeper and start to come up with real tangible ideas on how to fix this problem, instead of just pointing the finger and saying that it's something that it may not be, like we always say, Jason, we're going to find the answer to the problem. We're really going to find the answer to the problem if we stop labeling things as to what they may not be. That's just, I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy. Or maybe I need to go do some more push-ups so I can stop thinking.
No, I mean, I hear what you're saying, and I understand. Players, to your point earlier, and I think if you stay on that, it makes a lot of sense. It's the economics, right? At some point, the lack of this hiring is going to cost the ownership. And whether that is with, do I get the hot free agents I want? Am I a team that has a black head coach and a black GM, and all of a sudden guys are like, you know what, I'll take a pay cut to go there. The economics, everybody will change when the economics forces them to. Yep. So that's, you know, and the people control that, the masses, and the masses are the players in the league. Truth be told, you know, the players, as they go, the league adjusts. The players have a lot of power now. They have voice now, and they're using it. They're aware of it. I think that you see this situation with Deshaun Watson and him thinking, the truth was not told to me. Whatever that is, I don't know what happened, but he's flexing.
But look at that, Jason. Remember when you and I were playing?
Couldn't do
it. Remember that? You couldn't. You couldn't even. You wouldn't even think that.
But
the owner
the
and
is,
the GM have to consult with you before they hire somebody. We wouldn't even think that.
But I think it isn't the fact. Oh, see, I don't think it's the fact that they have to consult with you. It's the fact that they said they will.
Mm.
They will do something, and then they don't. Yes, I'm not sitting here telling anybody how they have to run their business. I am saying if you want to include your employees in that and then you don't, well, then there's a problem. There's a problem with trust. This is one thing that is changing. Sports. Sports as a business used to operate like this in my mind, and it's changed. It was merit-based as far as talent. Okay, on the field, the product, right? Because that's immediate result. That's win, that's lose, period. Everything surrounding that was relationship-based. That's coaching, management, media. I remember when I started watching sports, there wasn't anybody like me, not a lot of people like me talking about the sport, involved in the business of sport. But sport is a huge business. And we're out there playing, but there were no jobs on the other side. So when you look at any industry and you look at sport, understand what the commodity is, understand who's buying and selling that commodity and however they're doing that. Now things have changed. Look at us, look at the situation we're in, look at what we're doing. We're talking about a sport we love and other topics. We have a platform. A lot of people had to work hard for us to have this platform. And we say every day that we are trying to make sure that the people coming behind us have an opportunity and a voice, because that's where the growth is. So just like that conversation we had the other day, the heat some Black pundits are getting in football. And it made me think, I was like, you know, sometimes people just, the voices were held by one group to talk about the sports. You can play, but we got the other side. So things are changing. Makes people uncomfortable.
Jason, and this is a very ugly truth that I'm about to say right now, right? Ugly. It's ugly. You and I, and the people who've come before us in regards to what we're doing right now, we're going to open the door for a multitude of people. A multitude. You know why? Because we are outstanding at this.
I think you are.
Jason, we are outstanding at this. Now, the cold reality, no matter what we want, the cold reality is we had to be in order to open the door for everybody else.
Yes. Can't be average.
Can't be. We would want that, but that's not the world we live in.
Yeah. That's a broader topic.
That is like not the world we live in, Jason. We had to be great. Obama had to be great. The coaches, the GMs, the ones that do get in, it can't just be a Mike Tomlin.
Mm. They took a chance on him, man. A big chance. No, I mean, if he wouldn't have, that's why the Rooney Rule started, because his interviews were so good. They were like, you need to talk to this guy. He is something. He's impressive.
It has to be for Mike Tomlins. It's unfortunate, but it's true. It has to be for him.
So,
and then guess what happens, Jason? We like winning. We like that. Mm. It tastes good. All of a sudden, you look up, half the coaches are Black. All of a sudden, you look up, half the GMs are Black, because that is all they understand. We have to be better than average. And it's sad, but it's true.
That's what's happening in our world. In our world, in America, especially.
Even here.
But I talk about what I know. You know, I can't be an expert on a country that I'm learning. And I learn a lot, but I keep that opinion to myself until I really understand. But across the world, say in America especially, there's this confusion about where people are on the divide, right? So Obama said this when he left office. He said, money organizes well. Okay. The only way to defeat money is with the masses. Masses have to organize the same way money has. You see that with some election results. What's happening in America is there's a portion of the population that believed average equated to a certain life. And that's been wiped away. If you don't have the I don't want to say the silver spoon, but if you're not, what do they say? If you're not born on third base, you know, you gotta fight, you know, you gotta work, you gotta be better than average in some instances to achieve. It's a hard fact to deal with, you know, if you've never been in that situation. And I'm very sympathetic of that. I get it. You know, I get it, man. You know, in the neighborhood I grew up with, when my parents moved, predominantly white neighborhood, suburban, when I moved from one part of Long Beach to the other. And I grew up with all my friends around there. And I just remember, you know, even my neighbor, like, he expected that life. It was that life that we lived in was expected. I was, you know, the only Black person in the neighborhood. I wasn't expecting that life. I had to go, you know, earn to get that life. You know, I just had a different mentality. But I mean, it's just my reality compared to his. So I flip back to the NFL, and you bring up great points. And my answer is, money organizes. The masses need to organize. The masses are the players. The players' decisions, what they do, where they go, who they want to play for, what they want their organization to look like, will economically force change. That's what will force change. Labor and management has always throughout history had their conflicts, you know, but as business progresses, they continue to figure out a way. One side is always tipping the scale and then it goes back. Is this time for the scale to tip towards the players? People like Deshaun Watson are flexing. If more people flex like that, there will be teams that don't adjust. They will say, I'm not doing that, but there will be teams that do. And if their rosters are built out with a certain type of player and people choose to go there, will the other teams change, OC? That's my question.
100%.
So, you know, there's a lot more control and it takes time. Change takes time. You know, and it's, I always say this, it's easy. I always said this as a player. I'm not in the locker room. I'm not playing. I don't have to make these decisions. Very simple for me to talk about it right now.
Yep.
What would I do if I was playing is the question. And I had the juice and I have to ask myself that.
I'm right.
Oh man, that was good, man. I appreciate it, man. I appreciate it. I'm going to do some pushups.
Okay, let's do that. Let's go do that.
I just end up calling you later and talking another hour about the same subject while you try to get off the phone with me. So thank you. I appreciate it. Once again, man, it's a topic everybody is going to want to discuss, especially with us now as the Super Bowl's happening. It's good for us to have these conversations with our people so they know how we really think about this, because, you know, a lot of media organizations just want sound bites, and that's not how we think.
Can't give it to them. Can't do it. Can't do it. We can't have this conversation in 10 seconds. Like, what are you talking about?
No, because we don't even have the answer. We're just throwing out thoughts, you know? I know I have faith in the people that I have sacrificed my life for, and that's the NFL and people involved in that, that they want the best. So it's good people, man. Your relationship with the Giants owner says it all. If anybody wants to look at it, listen to it. Says a lot about what you think about owners and what your relationship, how great it is, and what the owner of the team that drafted you and put you in the Ring of Honor made you feel.
Yeah. Now, they don't have a black coach. Is that guy racist? Are you kidding me?
Yeah. No chance. I know.
So, yeah.
I will say this.
It's all good.
One of the worst coaches I ever had.
He was a black guy.
Hey, listen, we just keeping it real. That man was something else.
Was
you know who he was too.
Was terrible coach.
He was not a nice person. Man, I was so I was like, this guy, what's wrong with him?
Incredible. All right, my brother. Next week.
Uprise all day. We don't play. Give us reviews, all that kind of stuff. We love it. Oh, one thing before we leave. We really appreciate all of everybody's responses to last week's podcast. I mean, I spent so much time reading stuff. Great thoughts. I mean, I saw it all. Hey, if you got some thoughts on this, you know where to get at us. We love communicating with y'all and hearing what you guys think, man. Uprise all day. Simon is depressed, and he's going to do some push-ups himself. Holla at us.
Simon couldn't do one push-up. I bet you right now he couldn't do one push-up.
Hey, 3.5 of the Haysbury. Bangers in the stash, yeah, I stay ready. All of these knocks got my brain heavy. Niggas scoring in the field cause they playing messy. I deserve plain Jane with a plain bezzy. Cause my flow stay fresher than a name Deji. Everybody rap bars, I don't rate many. Violations, I don't really take any.
Hola, hola, mamacita, come with me for thunder. It's your buddy, woman, wonder, striking lightning thunder. Why you looking like it's August? It ain't even summer. What's it on your bumper? Tell me what's your name, I